What we must be is a people that are ready to war for truth, for righteousness, for the kingdom. In short, what we need to do is we need to dress up for the occasion, ladies and gentlemen. To forsake the cliches of the secular and the cliches of the Christian culture, and we need to march to a different tune that's led by angelic choirs rather than masqueraded demons. Because Satan knows the crucial target. He's seen the war. He knows where to target. He has inspected the holy places. He knows where the weaknesses of your faith are. And so we uphold, we defend the faith together this week. We defend the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. We need to understand what precisely are the devil's schemes. We need to learn to speak the truth boldly. We need to fight for the kingdom and to live rightly in the sight of God and man. And so this evening and throughout this week, you are called to be a priestly people. The kind of priestly people that engages the darkest enemy that you'll ever engage. And you're going to engage the darkest enemy whose name we know, Satan. And we're going to engage him not mildly. We're going to engage him by wearing our baptismal attire, by wearing that which God has given us. We carry the name of Jesus wherever we go because Jesus is our righteousness.
Welcome to Cross Politic on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Pastor Toby, Chuck Knox, I'm the water boy. You don't like that at all. We got our brother from another mother, CEO Robert Bortons,
in
the house from Classical Conversations. Our OG.
From day one,
corporate partner.
Guys, this is our Easter show.
It is.
Just so you
it's
know.
Friday. Yeah.
So this is Easter week, and this is going to be our Easter show.
So it's about to die, is what you're saying?
And rise.
Nay, praise
from
the Lord.
From the dead. So,
does that mean we have to behave?
As much as usual.
Just like Jesus.
That means you don't have to have gospel in every sentence you
say. I just think that as we hit some of these things with our friend, we should keep that in mind because everybody's getting ready to gear up, celebrate Easter.
Yeah.
Resurrection.
Yeah, we should have discussed this offline.
Yeah.
No, let's just do it here. Why not?
You bring up business decisions in the middle of shows.
And now he's going to tell you what you can't do.
I can bring up themes in the middle of the beginning of shows.
So, Robert, welcome to our Easter show.
Thanks. Was he crucified on Thursday or Friday?
Okay, Wednesday. Here you go.
Wednesday.
There we go. All right, there we go.
I'll explain.
Did you know that Fight Laugh Feast University offers intense courses that will change and equip you as you engage culture for the glory of God? Right now, Introduction to Rhetoric with Dr. Michael Collender and Intro to 3D Design and Animation taught by 3 Division are available for you to sign up. Head to fightlaughfeast.com/university for more information and register today. fightlaughfeast.com/university. And you can, a whole family can sign up if you have multiple.
One license per family, basically.
One license per family.
Because you can all tune in the living room on Zoom.
We're covenantal that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Second ad. Are you concerned your child's current education won't give them the skills necessary to succeed in any area of life?
How'd you know?
Consider homeschooling with Classical Conversations. By applying the classical Christian model of education, the Classical Conversations curriculum encourages students to learn how to learn and how to think for themselves so they can adapt to every challenge that life throws at them. You know, like COVID shutdowns, vaccine mandates, whatever the next woke atrocity is. Join the over 50,000 families in 50 countries who have chosen to educate their children with Classical Conversations by visiting classicalconversations.com/FLF. Let them know we sent you. That's classicalconversations.com/FLF. How was that, Robert? Okay.
That's great.
Decent?
Yeah.
I mean, not as good as you, but you know.
No, I'm in the presence of greatness.
But what about the rest of us?
So, Classical Conversations, Robert Borton's, you've been running this thing. How many years now?
I don't know what the bio says. 11 years, 10 years, 12 years.
Yeah, I was a test to see if you know. It's not on my bio. I have no idea. So, yeah.
That's a Joe Biden answer.
You were the...
I don't know how long. I'm still vice president.
You were the test baby of the whole endeavor.
Yes.
Back in the day. And look, you turned out great.
Thanks.
You've been a supporter of Cross Politic. That's probably like the thing you're most known for.
Probably.
Being one of the biggest fans of Cross Politic. In fact, you're on record, this says, for saying that you believed in Cross Politic even before Gabe's mom.
That is accurate.
Thank you.
Does she believe yet?
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Penny Rich, Miss Rich, Grandma Rich.
She's been believing for a minute.
Yeah, she's been helping us with our books for long enough to know that she's a believer. I don't know how this works, but God makes it work, I believe.
It runs on grace and faith alone.
Yeah.
Robert, you guys are always working on something. Recently had, I guess yesterday's show
David Tran
on, you know, the new Freedom Ship Institute, yes, that you guys are partnering with, yep. Launching a sort of this political action group. So I know that's going on. That's that you guys are partnering with. What else are some of the big highlights of what you guys are working on right now?
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons we're here is we're trying to partner with Red Balloon that our high school graduates and people who've gone through our program and are looking for like-minded businesses can find them, get their resumes highlighted. And, all the time, businesses are now reaching out. It's like, hey, how can I hire your graduates? Like, we know that they're well-educated, that they're going to do well for our organization. How do we get in contact with them? And since there's not currently a great way to do that, we want to, build that partnership with them so that our students know where to go, businesses know where to go, and we can continue to grow and strengthen really this economy that Christians need to build from the ground up, because the pagan economy is going to where in a handbasket.
Mm. Whoa.
Hell. In the handbasket.
Are we allowed to say that?
Some of us are.
Jesus did.
Yeah. Tell us about this new math map program you're working on.
Yeah, so we're $34 trillion in debt as a country, and so we are obviously not very good.
We need to beef up our math.
We're not good at math. Oh, my goodness.
We're not good at math. And so the math map is it's a K-12 program we've been developing for 5 years. We're starting to roll out with the 7th grade this upcoming year, and we call it the math map because you'll know exactly where you are in your math journey. Every single week, you're learning the same concept from kindergarten through 12th grade, but just at a different dimension, at a different level. And so if you're on week 6 and you're having a struggle, or most math books, you don't know where you are. So you don't know where to go back to learn the previous concepts.
Right.
So with us, you can say, okay, well, let me go back 3 grade levels, review that. 2 grade levels last year's, boom, I figured out what I was missing. So it lets you exactly know where you are on your math journey and how to go find where you are. It also is great for that conversational math that families do not have, because everyone's on different levels doing different things. Older students can help younger students. And since we're all, just practicing math together, that we can, as adults, really help our family elevate that conversation that many of us are afraid to have, because there's just not a really good way to talk about it. And one of the unifying factors in the math map is every single week has a beautiful piece of art that's the same for K through 12. So you'll start saying, oh, I love this math week. It's the Michelangelo week, or it's the Da Vinci week, or that. So, and in the art itself is the math concepts that they're going to be learning. And so a lot of people say they're not math people because they don't see the beauty in math, or it's so abstract. So we're trying to bring it home so that people can see the beauty in math, can see how math reflects the glory of God. And so we're rolling. It's a process. It'll be, 4 or 5 year process to get all the grades rolled out, but we're starting with 7th grade. Then it'll be 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. And in the meantime, we'll be rolling out K through six at the same time.
Wow.
How do I get Joe Biden enrolled in that?
It's a little too old. He can't teach an old dog new tricks,
I think. I love that concept of, especially for homeschooling families. I know that would be, but I mean, I guess that it would even work in a traditional school too.
For sure.
But you know, and we've even done this in our own home, and our kids are at Logos, but you know, a lot of our older kids, we often, it's like, it's been too many years. I can't remember this. I don't know.
I know. My daughter's in eighth grade now, and like the math she's doing, I'm sorry, buddy. You got to get a tutor.
Yeah, talk to your sister.
Yeah.
But we do that already in our home. But even more so, but that works all the way through like geometry and algebra and trigonometry and calculus and all this kind of stuff. Like that's all still lined up all the way through high school.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the way that we're teaching math in the modern concept is not working for our children and for our youth and for our country. And so you still are getting all those concepts all 12 years, but it's not necessarily like Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Calc 1, you know, in that exact order, because that's not really the best way to teach it. So you'll get everything that you need. We've been piloting this, and we had a young lady who was just going through the 7th grade workbook as an 11th grader, took the ACT, didn't study for it other than just doing our 7th grade math program, and her scores went up by 4. And the ACT, you know, is like, I think, 1 to 36 scale or 1 to 40 scale.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a 10%. That's a huge jump. I mean, that would be like a 200-point jump on the SAT, I believe.
Wow.
That's not why we did it. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, we believe that math reflects the glory of God. Yeah. And, you know, of course, there's Bible verses in it. But when we think about a biblical worldview as Christians at Classical Conversations, that doesn't mean slapping a Bible verse on it. That means understanding how this glorifies the Lord. And so each week, besides having that beautiful piece of art, also has a story about how this piece of art reflects the glory of God in math and the concepts that they'll be learning this week. So it really makes it so that math is interesting for those of us who aren't math people. And those of us who are math people, maybe we'll get a little bit of art history at the same time.
So I'm guessing that you guys decide to go and revamp math because math just happens to be one of the worst subjects that we don't do well.
Well, so one of the things, you know, at Classical Conversations is we have weekly communities, and it becomes difficult to, you know, have a tutor lead a math session when, you know, you've got 10 kids, you know, one's on 8th grade level, one's on a 9th grade level, one's on 7th grade level, one's on 12th grade level, and you're like, okay, well, we're supposed to be doing 8th grade math and these 5 lessons this week, you know, based on that, but everyone's kind of at their own level, and even in traditional schools, everyone's at different levels, even if they're in the same room. So this way, because each week has the same math concept, all four of us, you know, you could be in the 11th grade, you could be in the 10th, I could be in the 7th, you could be in the 8th. We can be talking about the same college advanced calc. And we're talking about the same fundamental idea, right? And at just, you know, different, you know, concept levels where, you know, maybe I'm using all integers, but you're using X, Y, and Z, right? But the same concepts are being out there. So it's just a way of elevating that math conversations inside our weekly communities as well.
Wow. Wow. You just said integers?
That's numbers like 1, 2, 3.
No, I'm just like, whoa.
I thought he just misspoke.
You're like, bless you. Tired of someone else telling you where to go when you have a medical need? Are you ready to take control of your own healthcare? Then it's time to take a look at Samaritan Ministries. It's biblical, affordable healthcare sharing with no restrictive networks. Here's how it works. When a medical need arises, you choose the healthcare provider that's right for you, and you have a say in the treatment you receive. Send your medical bills to Samaritan Ministries, and they'll notify fellow members to pray for you and send money directly to you to help you pay those bills. Join 80,000 Christian households across the nation who have already taken control of their healthcare. Go to SamaritanMinistries.org/crosspolitic. That's SamaritanMinistries.org/crosspolitic.
Robert, you know, one of the things that's when people decide to do homeschooling, one of the reasons they decide to do homeschooling is because they look at it and say, compared to where my kids are going to public school and what they're learning there, the environment to bring them home and teach them and raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, it makes sense to do this. So it's a safe place. I finally can put my kids in a safe place to learn the doctrines and the worldview that I want to teach them. But it doesn't seem like right now that homeschooling is maintaining that safety net that we've seen over the years. What is homeschool still safe to do? Is it, or is it under a threat right now?
Yeah, so homeschooling is under a threat. I really feel like there's obviously pockets of private schools that are still standing strong, but homeschoolers are the front line of defense for educational freedom in the United States and the world. And since so far we've not been able to be purchased by the big players, they've decided to come in, and they're actually partnering with Johns Hopkins University. Which I'm not sure if they can identify what a male and female are there.
Right.
But they are going to start a homeschool think tank financed by EdChoice, which is a big ESA proponent. Really, this is ideas that are coming out of the Bill Gates Foundation and the United Nations. You know, Bill Gates is buying up all of these farmland. Just wait till he starts buying up all of these private schools financed by ESAs. And so since they have been unable to convince homeschoolers who love freedom to take and get behind ESAs, and we're the main voice fighting against them, they said, well, if they won't join us, then we'll overpower them with our money and our finances and our prestige and start our own thing and become the leading voice in homeschooling movement, just because we can funnel millions and millions of dollars into this nonprofit at Johns Hopkins and make homeschooling into our own image instead of the image of the people who are grassroots on the front line making it happen. And so they're having this homeschool symposium. They invited no homeschool leaders.
Imagine that.
To it, a bunch of think tank people and public school leaders to talk about how they can, make homeschooling great, and how they're going to be launching this institute to study homeschooling and all of these things. And so
that's crazy. I remember we've talked about this on the show before, but I remember in the 80s being homeschooled by my mom. Yeah. And if CPS would come to the door, she would hide us because homeschooling was illegal in Texas. You had to account for it with the government back then. And so CPS come knock on the door, mom would put us all in the closet. And it's crazy to me. I mean, that was going on. I mean, in Idaho, people were getting arrested for homeschooling back in that day.
Yeah. Now you're saying homeschoolers can come out the closet.
But now, now the government, now that's been legalized and freed, the homeschool movement, now the government is like trying to come in and co-opt it from this ESA, think tank angle, basically.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, the globalists, let's not say like, this not necessarily the state government or the federal government at this point, but the globalists who have their 2030 agenda and their plan for making us all comply, they see that homeschooling is a clear and present danger.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And so that's why they've been pushing the school choice, because they know if they can get their dollars into our pockets, we'll comply, because everyone does comply. I mean, if you look at history, almost anyone who was taking government dollars that were stolen from their neighbor and tried to stop complying were killed. Right?
Wow. So,
and most people just bend the knee.
So
far, we have not complied. And so since the current homeschool leadership in our country is fighting against this tooth and nail, and they've been unable to convince us because it is socialism and it is Marxism, they've said, well, we'll just use, we'll just create a parallel homeschool and use our established networks and power structures to impose our will, outside of the current leadership structures.
You said this, but I just want to underline it. The first thing I thought of when you said Bill Gates and these other people and Johns Hopkins are funding this major think tank, that makes me think homeschooling is a threat.
Yeah. Pre-COVID, about 4 or 5% of American children were being homeschooled, what we would consider homeschooled.
Yeah.
And then post-COVID, it's risen to somewhere between 8% and 10%.
Yeah.
I've seen like 1 in 6 children who will be graduating out of Gen Z will have been homeschooled at some point. And this is different than public school at home through COVID.
Yeah.
But, where the parents were in charge of the curriculum and had the autonomy to choose for themselves. what they wanted to teach. But obviously, you know, individual autonomy is not in line with a globalist worldview. And so they want to end that any way they can. And so this is appearing to be their latest plan is this John Hopkins, Institute for Homeschooling, which will be anything but for homeschooling.
And wow. ESAs are a part of this play.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, what they fund, they get to regulate. And as a conservative, I think if someone's getting our tax dollars, they should be regulated and checked up on, right? That is good policy. The play is to get all homeschoolers taking the money and then slowly, you know, introduce all of these different ways to redistribute the wealth to their vendors, which was kind of interesting because Arizona, like we talked about, or David talked about yesterday, they were putting some stipulations around like, hey, you can't use this for ice hockey practice or going to theme parks or different educational opportunities like that, which you currently use the ESAs for. And they were trying to get these new rules in place. And they said, well, the vendors didn't have a chance to chime in with their opinion on what these rules should be. So we're not going to restrict the ESAs this year. So they said the quiet part out loud that this is not for the kids. It's for the vendors and that the children are just pass-through entities and that therefore the child can be manipulated to do what they want to do. And of course, these children will grow up under a cradle to grave, you know, globalist or big state government where the state has taken care of their every need until they're 18. And then they'll want the state to take care of them for free college, free housing, free medical care, all these universal terms that the left uses. Yeah. The left, the right's like, we love universal basic education income. Well, do you love universal health care? Do you love universal
income? But right now we don't.
It's the long game. You know, it's the long institution. It's the long march through our institutions. And they do that through funding mechanisms because they can steal from us. And if we don't comply, they throw us in jail. And so now they'll give us some crumbs back in order for us to, fall in line.
So we're playing with this illusion of freedom. In a lot of ways with the ESAs, like it's a trap.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the Freedom Ship Institute's all about trying to help leaders, our elected leaders think more clearly by giving them the tools of learning. It's not necessarily about stopping ESAs, but ESAs are the clear and present danger that we're facing. And, you know, a lot of these people get elected and they are good people as good as we get as sinners, but you know, they lose their spine because they don't know how to think clearly. And so part of that idea is helping them to think clearly. But it's because of some of the organizations I'm involved in, they're taking new strategies on getting some of these laws passed that are a lot of people are blind to, where before some of these think tanks, you know, they would say, Chocolate Knox got elected and we have this policy. So let's go tell Chocolate Knox about how great this policy is. Mm-hmm. And then you would be like, well, I don't know if my, you know, voters really want that. I don't, you know, agree with this or I do agree with it. And yeah, we do need something like this in our area. Well, now what they're doing is saying, well, I like how Chocolate Knox votes 98% of the time, but we're really passionate about X and Toby will do X for us, even though he won't do anything else. So we'll get Toby to primary you because it's a lot cheaper to pay for Toby to beat you in a primary than it is to convince you to do something that's immoral because we've already got him on board. Mm-hmm. And even though he's going to vote wrong 50% of the time, he's going to vote. We get what we want. And so it's a very new strategy that's being implemented where they're trying to pick people for policies.
Like Moneyball. It's Moneyball.
Yeah, because their dollars go a lot longer. They don't care that they're bad on everything else as long as they'll pass this one thing that they want. So
that's insanity.
Well, I mean, it's good strategy. It's good short-term strategy. It's bad long-term strategy.
How in the world are you going to have a world that exists that holds up this thing you want if everything, you know, there's no foundation for this thing to, there's nothing to cultivate the reality of your one position though, is there?
No. And you got to realize most of these think tanks are run by atheists or people who, you know, maybe have our conservative worldview, but don't believe in God, don't believe that Christ is king, Don't believe that that we're going to be judged for how we act. Don't believe that the Bible's three spheres of government, right? You've got, you know, state government, you've got church government, and you've got family government. And each of those three spheres have their responsibility. And state government's pretty much, you know, justice and a little bit of protection and really nothing else. Right. And church government has, you know, initial discipline and different things like that. And then family is, of course, really this locus of 99% of what the government is supposed to be in a biblical hierarchy. And so anytime that they can take decisions that are on the family level and put them into either of the other two spheres, that's a win for globalists and a loss for true freedom.
It's amazing to me that I'm actually just researching while you're talking about Bill Gates and ESA, stuff like that, and funding. It appears to me that, and these might not be totally accurate, but like Bill Gates has spent billions of dollars, multiple billions of dollars on funding school initiatives, whether teacher training or data collection, whatever, all around. And he understands the power of putting money in education. And for decades, you know, Classical Conversations, you know, Pastor Wilson, I've been trying to convince parents the power of putting their own money in their kids' education. And, so I was involved with an economic firm, and we were heavily involved in higher education. And Bill Gates' name constantly came up at the higher education level. I'm just talking about, I mean, he spent billions on K through 12.
Yeah.
How much more money he spent on college education and higher education. And there's this, the church, the Christians, it's amazing to see like how pagans like Bill can see the value of his money going to eternal measures, eternal results.
Yep.
And yet we aren't doing that. The church nationwide is just not doing, we're not putting our money where our mouth should be.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Gates understands that. Steve Jobs. I mean, think about how many times you've seen on Facebook a teacher saying, "Hey, I'm raising funds to put iPads in our school."
Right.
Right. One, iPad screen time's terrible for children, right? Plenty of science out there for that. You know, the leadership in Apple, they all send their kids to technology-free private schools. They will not let their kids touch those things until they're over 18 years old.
Well, and he was famous for not letting his kids have an iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
An iPad.
So we have teachers fundraising to make our kids dumber in public school, and people are just cheering it on and
financing it. People are inventing that technology and are not using it.
So their worldview, look, Bill Gates and you know, all these people, they think they're trying to make the world a better place, right? But they have a worldview that's incoherent and a worldview that does not match the laws that have been placed by the creator of the world. And so it'll lead to suffering, it'll lead to destruction. And of course, we're seeing the fruit of a pagan worldview financed through pagan means, right? The redistribution of wealth, Marxism, is the fundamental problem with our public schools. It's funded through theft, right? That's why they're immoral in any sense of the imagination.
Yeah.
And so as Christians, it is our moral duty to privately educate our kids no matter the cost. And it's the moral duty of the church to help raise funds for parents who might not be able to do it.
I love the way that actually, David yesterday on the show was talking about that this fundamentally comes down to a worship issue. It's a matter of worship, and that when we look to money, we're taking up a foreign god. We're bringing a god that we're looking to save us.
Absolutely.
And the thing that strikes me is when you're a full throated pagan, like you can kind of like Bill Gates and the people, like you live in that world and that's your worldview. There's a kind of non-consistent consistency to it where like, those are your weapons. Like that's how you do your enslaving is because you believe in your God. When Christians stoop to that level and try to play that game, we always lose.
Sure.
Because we don't play by their rules. And so you end up getting eaten up by the machinery of that. That doesn't mean money doesn't ever matter. It doesn't mean that physical material things don't matter. But in God's universe, Christ is at the top. Christ is king. And then he establishes these governments, he establishes these different priorities, and then tells us where to put them on the shelf in the right order, in the right level, with the right loyalty.
So that it might go well with
you. So that it might go well with you. And so, but it strikes me that, I'll bring this full circle, because I was the one that brought up in the beginning, this is our Easter show. And this is one of those places where it's easy for us to separate what we're celebrating this weekend, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, from what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And this has been one of the most egregious things that's happened.
That's right.
Is we go to church on Sunday and we worship Jesus. We say Jesus is Lord. We say he's risen from the dead. He is risen. Right? Mm-hmm. And then we leave the building and we start thinking like pagans.
Right.
And we think, and we're worried. I don't have enough money.
Right.
I got to pay my bills. Whatever, like whatever the worry, fear, anxiety is, they're not going to have a good education. They're not going to make it into a prestigious college. They're not going to get a good job. I'm going to fail as a mom. I'm going to fail as a dad. And in our fear, we grasp for idols. We grasp for something else that'll make us feel secure and safe, or even just the approval of people, because like, we don't want to be those weird homeschoolers.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. Like, I'm married to my wife, April, 10 years, just celebrated that.
Hey.
Right? So if I say April is my wife, right? Christ is King, April is my wife. Mm-hmm. And every single night I go, I don't do anything morally wrong, but I go to some other woman's house and have her feed me dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She's giving me sustenance.
Yeah.
Right? If I said, Christ is King, but I want to go get my livelihood from the government.
Yeah.
Is Christ your King? Is April my wife?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
If every night I'm going somewhere else for dinner.
Right. Right.
No.
And people will say like, well, this is, again, imagine you're in that scenario. You say, well, this is the only way I know how to get a meal.
Right.
My wife doesn't know how to cook. We're really poor.
Yeah.
And so, this is the only way to do it. But the fundamental question comes back to, is Christ King?
Yeah.
And then I'll press it one more step. Is he risen from the dead?
Mm-hmm.
If he's like, that's why that matters. Like, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus matters, because it's going to come down to something that's going to hurt, pinch, and make and question, like, do you believe?
Yeah.
Do you believe that he's risen from the dead? Did a man go into a grave, and did he come back out in immortality? Did he come back never to be able to be put to death again?
That's right.
Because that's what you're banking your life. You're banking everything on, or else you're not a Christian.
Well, right. And how many people go to church on Easter Sunday and say, he is risen indeed?
Yeah.
And then they leave, and then that has no implications for them in their life out in the world.
Right.
Yeah. With how we, especially as we're talking about education.
He is risen indeed,
and I'm sending my kids to public school.
Yeah, so he's either king of your life or he's not. And if he's king of your life, that has implications on how you're supposed to live your life. And we're in a fallen world, we're in a sinful world, and we are wherever we are today.
Yeah.
And if we're not where we need to be, do we have a plan to get out of the desert and get into... the promised land, or are we just going to wander in the desert? I mean, Israel did this time and time again, where they denied the lordship of Christ.
Yeah.
And they saw his wonders. They saw water out of the rock.
Yeah.
They saw his salvation with their own eyes. And that's why those stories are there. They're written down for us, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10. Because we're all tempted to forget, we're all tempted to doubt and fear, and then start picking up the weapons of the enemy.
Yeah.
And rather than saying, no, I've been called to this, I'm a father, I'm a mother, these are my kids, the Lord gave them to me.
Yep.
And he's entrusted that responsibility to me to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And he said, I don't know how to do this, but he is risen.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if he is risen, then I can trust him. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me.
That's right.
It was after I just reading through Joshua and I got into Judges, but it's after Moses is dying. He's warning them, after I'm gone, you're going to fall away. Joshua does the same thing after I'm gone. And it says in Judges, as long as Joshua was there and the elders that were alive during Joshua, they remained mostly faithful. But when they had all died, that's when they fall away. And that's the glory though of Jesus. He's never going to die.
Yeah.
So if we keep our eyes fixed on him, then we're always part of the living generation.
Right. And as Christians, we need to fundamentally believe and live out this idea that if we have died in Christ and are died to ourselves and we're alive in him, we're never going to die either.
Right.
And feeding your children, or how I'm going to house my kids, or how I'm going to put clothes on their backs or whatever like that, those are all fears of dying.
Right.
And this is the root of our nation's problems.
Yep.
How many members of Congress are going to go to Easter on Sunday?
This all of them.
This Sunday.
Probably. Well,
and then go out in the week and vote contrary to Jesus being king.
Right. Defying the resurrection, denying fundamentally the resurrection.
100%. Yeah. And how many, Lig Duncan. He's going to go to church this Sunday. He called us. He said, there's no reason to think that we're Christians. That's what he said. And he's going to say, Jesus is risen indeed. Yeah. We got.
Yeah, let's just be clear. He said that about you, not me.
Yeah. He said that about us. But the problem is,
he didn't talk about the North Carolina mood.
Is how many of Big Eva is going to go to church on Sunday and say he's risen indeed?
Yeah.
You know, I think that this is something I've been thinking about a lot. You know, and this relates to everything you guys are saying. But we still have an old covenant mindset of the world, even though we have new covenant soteriology.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. So we have that salvation. Jesus died for my sins and so forth. But, you know, he took the powers of the world and put them to shame in his death and resurrection.
Right.
Which means that the old world is done. And here's the example that I like to give with that. God took through Jesus a sword through the enemy and has sliced him so deep, so quick, so powerful that he's still falling, even though he's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
The sword was so sharp. And so it's done. And now it's fallen, and we're living in a time where we're watching it fall, but we still think that power that's there, that's falling, is actually in charge.
Right.
It's like, no, it's been cut
right.
all the way through in everything, right? Yeah. And so
which includes like Bill Gates and all his money.
That's my whole point.
Well, that's the thing. Like
the old system doesn't work anymore. It has no authority. It has no power, but we treat it like it does. Yeah. Instead of trusting in God in all things, not just in for our salvation, it's the whole thing.
Right.
Garden restored, baby.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's what's mm-hmm. we've put the leadership, the global leadership to shame because homeschoolers primarily and some private educators have looked at the globalists and said, your money is no good here.
Christ is king.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Christ
right.
is king.
Right. Because
you can't buy homeschoolers.
And again, it goes back to he is risen. So right. it's like you can't, like, there's, you they put a stone in front of it. They sealed it. They put a
guard
of soldiers in front of it. And God went, bing.
Yeah.
And said, what? And it's like, if that's your king, then, you know, like, what are they going to roll a stone in front of you educating your kids? Right. they can't stop him.
You're the problem now.
They can't put him back in the grave. And so we need to see this kind of move as them being really threatened by real Christian freedom and centered in, you can't have our kids and your money's not good here.
Mm.
And that's.
And we need to walk in
that's
that.
That's resurrection life.
Amen.
That's
we need Easter to walk life. In
that. That's beautiful.
I guess I'll play the organ because it's church.
You got your Easter tie on and everything.
Yeah, I do. I haven't even planning on it. No. Look at God. Robert, thank you for joining us, man. Appreciate you, brother, so much. All right. If you're single, get married. If you're married, have kids. And if you have kids, go baptize them.
I'll go baptize David's kids.
Go do that for him. Yeah, until next week, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go fight, laugh, and feast. This is Cross Politic.
He's risen indeed.
I'm David Reese, Chief Executive Officer of Armored Republic. We've been around for over a decade, serving you now, trying to provide tools of liberty to free men to be able to resist tyrants and criminals to the honor of Christ. And we've created a lot of content to help you to understand products, to help you to understand how bullets get stopped, and you've seen a lot of cool things. But we've decided it's time to share some of what we have internally. A lot of people ask us what it is that we're about, what it is we're trying to accomplish, and the name captures what we're trying to accomplish. Armored Republic is the idea that we want to see our republic armored. We want it to be hardened. We want it to be defensible. We want to guard, watch, keep, preserve, maintain the things that have been attained to. And so guarding that is a part of this armoring. We believe that if we can provide armor to you, if we can equip you, if we can give you knowledge, if we can help you to resist the nonsense that's dominant in the spirit of the age, and if you have all of that, we've equipped you with tools of liberty. Tools of Liberty includes intellectual ammunition. It includes the skill to be able to resist. It includes body armor itself, plate carriers, belts, IFACs to be able to heal up, stitch up, to be able to stop the bleed. Right? These are the things that we're trying to get to you. Now, as we think about that, a part of what's happened is there's sort of this The sense in which there's a feeling of the tearing of the fabric of society. And so people don't know what it is that they should be doing. They don't know what to do, what to guard, where to gather. We want to encourage you to be able to gather free men who know what liberty is, who know that liberty is not a license to do wickedness, but it is the power to do righteousness in the face of tyrants and criminals. It is the ability to say no, and it's the ability to say yes to the right things. It's the ability to build. You need sword and trowel. You have to be able to put things together. So what we're trying to do now is trying to communicate more and more what it is to armor the Republic. And in addition to that, what is a Republic that we're guarding and trying to build? Republic's not just another word for democracy, which is the rule of the people. The rule of the people is two wolves and a sheep voting who's for dinner. If you have a pure democracy, all you're gonna do is vote on who to kill, and you're gonna vote on whose wallet to pick. That's not what America is about. America is a republic if we can keep it. The Constitution attempts to capture the God-given rights that we receive as a heritage. It recognizes them. It does not give them. It does not grant them. But it rather establishes a clear public recognition of the rights that we have. What we are trying to do is to help to educate and strengthen and unite a movement to see that liberty does not perish from the land. This is Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ.